to number off. This is what I've seen you do. Correct me if I'm wrong. You do what you're asked. You say one, you say two, and you move up. You move. You might complain just a little. You might start numbering in your head and move so that you could be with your friend. Okay? You might receive a number and actually just go to a different group. Right? Okay? Well, I'll tell you what the adults did. Nothing. I was like, you're going to stand up and number off. And they froze. They did not stand. They couldn't even number. They couldn't go one, two, three. I was like, what is happening? I think the difference in your action and their non-action is described in culture. In teenage culture, you're used to being numbered off. Like, people do this all day in school. Adults, not so much. Other things that make up your culture is this. Words like 6-7, riz, drip, fire, RN, because why would we say right now? Bro, I'm not going to do that. Or that's mid. Adults like me use words like awesome, cool, totes, neato, cray cray, the struggle's real, and oh snap. Adults and teenagers have different cultures, even though we live in the same area. And being part of different cultures influences how we see ourselves, the world, God, and each other. So this is the definition of culture. Culture is defined as values, beliefs, it's a lot, attitudes, perceptions, behaviors, and practices for a specific group. It could be racial, it could be religious, and social. What I described to you between adult and teenager is behaviors and practices of a social group. You are part of many different cultures. I am a part of different cultures. I am a part of a church culture, and even smaller, a staff culture. I have different cultures of friends. One group of friends, they want to do all the adventures and climb mountains and do crazy things. And another group of my friends are like, let's read books and go shopping. Both are excellent, but they're just different. I, on Sunday, went to a Vikings game. What I experienced is that football is a totally different culture than going to a Timberwolves game. Totally different. I am a part of a dance mom culture. It exists. And a basketball mom culture. I'm a part of the pillager school culture. My family, my siblings, we have our own way of doing things. And I would say that we are a part of the Brainerd Lakes area, which is very unique. All of these influences who I am, and the same is true of each of you and the people in the Bible. For example, Jesus was a part of a Jewish culture, which is important of who Jesus is and was. Remember, Jesus, the Son of God, came on this earth as a human, and he experienced earthly cultures. God did not ask him to get rid of his Jewishness before he was the Messiah. In fact, Jesus' family heritage mattered so much that in the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the gospel, you do not have to go there. There are so many names that Matthew lists out his whole family tree from the beginning of Abraham to Jesus. I'll give you a few. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rahab, Boaz, Obadiah, Ruth, David, Solomon. And then it goes into Amos, Josiah. And then there's so many names. It goes from Jacob, and then it says the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. There are so many names, and to us they're like, they're names. But they're important because they make up Jesus' whole family tree. God intentionally chose the Jewish culture and that family to raise Jesus and put him in it. Just like Jesus, the stories of who come before us or who came before us are a part of our identities. Culture's like this iceberg. There we go. Okay, so an iceberg, you only see the top part. The top part that we see in culture is what you look like, maybe the language you speak, the clothes you wear. What else? I can't see the other thing. Maybe a greeting, okay? Below it, there's so much more. There's values, there's beliefs, there's priorities, attitudes. Many times we don't even know how our culture impacts us because it's just like people say it's like the air we breathe. Until you go to a different culture, then you're like, oh, this is different. One piece of our local culture that I had no idea about, you guys, is this event that y'all do called Beanhole Days. They take this whole big, have you heard of this? This happens. This is a festival. People gather for this. There are these big pots that are cast iron. They put beans in them. They put them in the ground for 2 days. They cook them, like baked beans. They put them in the ground. They bake them, and people stand in line all day for beans. And I was like, what the heck? This is weird. Okay? I was like, I don't understand. And Eric's like, come try the beans. There's a new flavor. And I'm like, what the actual? And then I looked up why. So at the front, at the top of this tradition, I'm like, that's weird. And then I learned that in 1938, this tradition started because business owners wanted to thank the local farmers and have them come to their town and serve them beans as a way to say thank you. Because these farmers used their local shops to buy the things they needed for farming. So Beanhole Days is an example of a local event that below the surface, their values of local businesses and farming and these attitudes of thankfulness to these people who provide food for us. But at first glance, you're like, weird. Our culture, our values, our norms, our practices affect how we see the world and how we live out our Christian faith and how we treat other people. Culture isn't just about ethnicity. We live in a Midwest culture. If you've ever gone out of the Midwest to the South or the East, you're like, oh, they do life differently. But there's also unique family cultures. That even though a family could be of the same heritage or live in the same area, you do things differently. Have you ever had experiences where you realize that the way your family does things isn't the same as someone else's family? For example, at my family, for extended Christmas, they eat liver paste, they play accordion, they have pickled fish, pickled eggs, and we give an onion on a stick as a gift. No joke. True story. I go to David's family, they always have lefse. I'd never had lefse. They eat spaghetti for Christmas dinner. I've never eaten spaghetti for Christmas dinner. And they do this tradition where they have a pickle, like not a real pickle, but an ornament, and they hide it in the tree and you have to find it. Different cultures are a part of different families. Different cultures are a part of who we are. We see this in the Bible, and God didn't tell us to erase our culture before we became believers of Jesus. He said embrace them. And instead, God chooses to meet us in them. Our cultures matter to God and are a part of who we are. God thinks so much about culture that he gave this group of people called the Israelites. Back in the Old Testament, there's this group of people called the Israelites, and he says, you are going to do these traditions and these festivals to remember me. So the Israelites are enslaved for 430 years in Egypt. God sends these plagues of locusts and frogs and all these crazy things and says to get Pharaoh, the leader, to say, free the people. Finally, Pharaoh says, let these people go. I'm sick of this craziness that God is putting on us. And he lets them go. And out of that, God gave instructions to the Jewish people that they are supposed to do this special meal every year called Passover. And in this tradition, everything represents something so that they would not forget where they came from and what God had done. Jesus celebrated Passover with his family, and Jewish families today do it. This tradition shapes the way that they see God and how they seek help for other people. if I look at this tradition, because my family has done this meal, it's really odd again, kind of like beanhole days, that you eat parsley. Have you ever eaten parsley? That's like the green stuff they put on top of your food, like as a garnish. That's what you eat. You eat an egg. You eat a pickled fig. A fig. All these things represent something. So at first glance, it's like, that's a weird tradition. But when we look deeper into the iceberg, we see the values and the beliefs that come from it. So next, you're going to open up to Luke 2, which is it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, which is in the Gospel, the New Testament. Luke 2, 41 through 51. I'm going to read while you find it. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So every year, the families are to travel 3 times a year to Jerusalem. You might be like, Mary and Joseph are horrible parents to Jesus. They left him behind. Well, what happens is at 12, you were considered almost an adult. Scary. But that was their culture. So what happens is they thought, they travel in this huge caravan of people, and the women were at the front, and the men were at the back. And so Mary and Joseph probably thought that Jesus was somewhere in this caravan, because he's almost an adult. Well, they get there and they realize he's not there. So they go back for him. It's important to note that this is the first time that Jesus mentions that he knows he's God's son. These passages show us that Jesus lived out his Jewish heritage, his traditions, and his culture as he followed God. And the Bible is clear that we are to live out and celebrate our differences and our cultures as we follow God on this earth. But the reality is, sometimes people face discrimination for their cultures and traditions. For Jesus, it wasn't easy being Jewish under Roman rule. Jesus and his family did not have the privileges of a Roman citizen. Ultimately, the Romans are the ones that put Jesus on the cross. And not long after Jesus died, the Romans destroyed the temple of the Jewish people where they worshiped and they prayed. And today, throughout history, the Jewish people have been persecuted for celebrating their traditions that God gave them. This makes me sad. It makes me sad that people are mistreated for being them, who God created them to be. As a reminder, a lament is a deep mourning or sadness that is spiritual and soulful. And that definition came from Lauren in this room. And so it's important that when we know people are mistreated, that we leave space and acknowledgement of that so we can leave that behind and grieve that and mourn that and step into celebrating. So I'm going to say a prayer. God, we lament the ways that the Jewish people have been mistreated, both in the past and the present. Lord, we lament that there are people in this room and outside of this room that are mistreated for who they are. Help us to love others as you have loved us. God, this hurts us, and we lament the ways many of us have mistreated people or been mistreated because we act differently or they act differently. We lament for any ways we have mistreated others for being different from us. Forgive us, God. Amen. There is space within our community for our uniqueness for each of us. It's together with these differences that we reflect the image of God. That's why. Wrong page. But there is space. And one of my favorite verses is in Micah 6:8. You can write it down and talk about it in your groups. And it says this. He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? Lamenting and letting go of all the mistreatment allows us to live this verse out. And God calls us as followers of him to be and do justice by loving and being kind to one another. And walking in this attitude, it says humbly before God, that I'm here and this person is on the same level of me. Even though we have different cultures or different beliefs, we are the same. Not one's better than the other. Celebrating God's presence among us and the way he reveals himself in our differences is important. And how we celebrate and who we celebrate matters. One way that we can show care for each other is to show up and remind each other that God made each of us, remember first week, very good. And our cultures are a part of who we are and how we relate to God and each other. Last week, I heard stories, not specific stories, of you guys in your groups sharing things below the iceberg, the things that people might not know about you. And hearing the safety and the care that you offered one another over the last few weeks in your small groups inspires me. And it makes me excited for what God is doing in this Timberwood youth culture. There is a space within our community for all of our uniqueness and our families to bring our uniqueness to this table and to our community. It's together with our differences that we reflect the image of God. So thank you for creating a space of that where you can have kindness and appreciation and love. And may we continue to create a culture in here where we can live out Micah 6:8 once we leave this space. I'm going to leave you with a beautiful picture that God gives us in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 7:9. He says, he gives this picture to John to write down of what it's going to look like when Jesus comes back. And this is how he describes it. There were people, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, and all people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice. God gives us a picture of all of us in our differences coming together to worship God. It's such a beautiful picture. He wants us to bring our full selves to this space and to the spaces that we go to. So as we leave tonight, I pray that you continue to create that space to appreciate that we're all different. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the differences that you give us in our different cultures and ways of life. Lord, help us to appreciate that in each other. Lord, it can be hard to be different But Lord, help us to remember that you made each of us very good, and that it is in that goodness that we can live out kindness and love to others that we encounter. Lord, be in our spaces tonight to have an opportunity to speak about the differences in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're going to your small group. You can bring your journals with. Leave the pens in the bowl because you have pens in your small group time. Yes, sir.
Isaac said that you made up all of the